Good evening. Thank you for listening to me for a few minutes. John asked me if I'd do a regular series on the first Wednesdays and whatever else comes up. And so I found a little series when I was going to church down at Harvest, and Brad Strand, the pastor down there at the time, he's a biblical scholar. He has a study Bible he put together, his notes, things like that. One of the studies he did was to do the study on the Psalms of Ascent. And I didn't get to sit through all of them, but I got to sit through enough that it's been one place I'd like to go back to sometime, and so this would be a good opportunity, I thought. I've actually used one of these Psalms before in a teaching, but I'm not going to go back to those notes. I'm going to try to put everything back afresh the way I'm doing it this time, so hopefully it'll be a blessing to those who have already heard it. And me, and you know how that all works. The Psalms of Ascent are Psalms 120 through 134. And the Psalms of Ascent are about journey or pilgrimage. Traditionally, they said that the Israelites or the Jews would do it when they're making their journey to Jerusalem for the feasts. Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, that one of the things they'd do is they'd sing these psalms as they went. Another tradition that's recorded is that there are steps going into the temple. And I forget how it breaks down, but there's 8 steps and then the other 15, the other to make it 15. And it's said that on these feasts or certain times, they would the Levites would sing these at each step, and kind of a remembrance of their of you know, it's like it talks about a journey, the journey in deliverance, the journey in coming to God, and things like that. We don't go through things like this ourselves as any kind of tradition, but it's good to understand these as we study through them that was what they were meant to do, is rehearse. Ascension to the temple, the ascension to Jerusalem, because that Jerusalem was on a hill. And if you read your Bible, a lot of times when it talks about going up to Jerusalem, well, you had to walk uphill to get to it. And so that's where they get the name of Songs of Ascent. The first one, I'm going to kind of approach it from 3 different directions. 3 different types of journeys. The Christian walk is your life as a Christian is spoken as a walk. Well, that's walk says it's a journey. It's a battle. We put on our spiritual armor. It's many different things, but it's for one of the things that we can really look at as we study the Bible and get more truth out of it is that we are on a walk. We are on our journey, as you might hear say on some sermons that we're growing closer to being like Jesus and things like that. This all is progress. It's a journey. And I'm going to look at 3 different journeys here today on 120. But before I start that, I'm going to pray, and then we'll read the passage of Psalm 120 and carry on from there. Father, I thank you that I get the chance to study this because it pushes me into looking into your word a little bit different, a little bit more. I thank you that you've given me the chance to share with my friends, my fellow Christians, my a family of believers in our local house. I thank you that you give us this truth, and I pray that you will help me by power of Holy Spirit, welcomed at all times to help reveal your truth properly. Help me in doing so. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 120, and I'll read it out of the ESV because that's what we use here. Verse 1, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree? Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. This is, if I remember right, this is one of the Psalms of David. There's different authors. The Psalms of Ascent are written by three or four different authors. They are not originally written to be a group, but they've been put together as a group, you know, because of the way it reads. And one of the first journeys that I'm going to look at here, it speaks of a journey of steps. Remember I said that one of the traditions is that they sang or spoke these as they go ascend the steps into the temple. And this is what first got me really hooked on this study. It's a note from Pastor Brad's study notes. It says, the first step to ascending to where God abides and where liberty abounds is to look down or to get humble. So he titles this first Psalm 120, Look Down. And any journey begins, you know, like they say, with the first step. The first time you're going to walk up the steps, we tend to, and this is natural and proper, is to look down and make sure you make the first landing. And then the physical being a type for the spiritual, and so in many ways, you can say that my journey starts with the first step, and you look down to make the first step. You humble yourself. When you first step into your walk with Christ, you know, when someone witnesses and shares the gospel with you, well, you're to respond with humility, respond with repentance and faith. And that's a huge step of humility. You look at a lot of, testimonies, and I read one today that was pretty good. And, someone properly saved, it always starts with humility. So your first step is to look down, you know, present yourself humble before God, and you start your journey. Another view for journey, another type of journey, is a journey of pilgrimage. You know, like I said before, this Psalms of Ascent are about journeying up to the temple or journeying to Jerusalem. It's in some ways gives us an idea of about the Christian walk, journeying through sanctification. And one title for this psalm, and there's been several. I looked at many different studies of the Psalms of Ascent. There's one list that shows the Psalm 120 is a prayer of the homesick soul. And you look up there, it says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. He answered me, deliver me, O Lord, from the lying lips and deceitful tongue. Now, when you're born again, you're not suddenly lifted into holiness and into a place where you don't have to worry about the worries of the world and things like that. We're left in this world for the walk that God gives us. And so, the prayer of the homesick soul, when you first get saved, you start realizing the truths of God and the promises of salvation. And you start seeing sin for what it is. You start seeing truth for what it is. And you immediately, you know, for a lot of people, you become homesick for being home with the Lord. You become homesick for getting out of this evil world and into heaven. But more than that, this Psalm 120, it's a cry of distress to the Lord from someone who has suffered greatly, suffered much affliction. And I know that when I first got saved, there was a period of time there when, you know, like, you know, you hear about people who first get saved, they're really ambitious. They really just want to just jump straight in and everything's got to be made right. Everything's got to be done right. You know, I can't be associated with this. A person goes through this initial period of just going gung ho, and then you come to the point where you kind of back off a little bit. You get used to the fact that you're in the world, and you know things kind of calm down a little bit. But when I was first got saved, there was a period where many things were going through a cleansing and purifying stage, where there was much turmoil and trouble. And one of the things that really stands out to me on that first step of the journey was that we went to where we would normally go before with a family event that was, well, actually it was a party. You know, some of her family had a party, and you know that's what they do. They they'll get together and be social and have drinks, whatever. But there's a lot of this that now that I'm a fresh Christian, I was like, oh, I can't be part of this. You know, and it was a very trying time. But I was wanting to be delivered, and let's drive away right now and run away. More like, that part of me that says what they're doing is not good. I don't want to be a part of this. There was that immediate push against evil in my walk. And there's somewhat like this right here where he's, the psalmist says, deliver me, O Lord, from the lying lips and deceitful tongue. And so that's one thing that really stands out on this psalm. And then the another thing that really stands out, and this is the one that really caught my attention the other day, and that the third type of journey that this is, that we're seeing here, is a journey of living. In other words, this is where we come to where we are not of this world, but we're in the world. We are given to live life amongst the people of this world who aren't saved. We are given to, being in an evil environment that we know we're not part of anymore. And one of the things that really affect us and affect this life situations in general, I think this psalm is good to address it right away, because I think it's one of the most dangerous and hurtful things. And I was going to call on our youth here. And this is something that really just stands out when you step back and look at it. Because, hey, I'm no longer in school. I can come back and look at it from, 2020, looking behind my vision. Is that one of the biggest distressors, and this happens in the adult world too, but it really just glares out in the younger group, is everybody is affected greatly by things people say. People are concerned with how people think of us, Yet there is a part of me that wants to know that when I step down from here, no one was offended by me. No one was, I didn't come across as bad or anything like that. I mean, it's a little bit, but it's still there. But, but when you're younger, especially when you're dealing, everything's a social event. Everything that you go through, what did so-and-so say about me? Or, what does so-and-so think of me? Or they'll just snap off and say something and it hurts the other person's feelings. These things are just really blown up. And in a sense, it's the things that he's dealing with here. It affects the adults in that, speech can do a lot of damage to your fellow man, your friends, your family. You can say one thing and hurt the trust in a marriage. And it's unreal how things can happen like that. But he says here, what shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree? Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, and that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. Now understand that for the unsaved, for the people who aren't Christian, they don't see things the way we do. It's easy for them to lie. It's easier for them to love, or not love, but to go for, strife, anger, fighting. It's really typified in the political thing right now, where whichever side you're on, you can point to the other side and say, whatever you say about them, well, basically they can say about you. There's this accusations. There's this, they're basically, making you know, accusations to each other of the things that they do themselves. There's a hypocrisy in it. But part of that is in their unsaved state, they tend to want things that are opposite of what they say they want. They tend to, you know, push for things, you know, with war and fighting and dishonesty and things like that. And it kind of, it's difficult to stand back as a Christian and look at this, you know, stuff that's going on today. When you know the truth and what the Bible says, you know, that men will, you know, love darkness and avoid the light. Because the light shows, you know, the truth, and the truth says that, oh, we're sinners. Oh, you know, we do these things and, you know, people don't want to see it. I think this psalm is a really great description for the first thing that we really have to face in our journey of living the Christian life, is that, you know, there's going to be things upside down. Was it the one thing that I mentioned this before, and I think it's a good saying, is that, and Paul Washer said that while he's going to college, he's taking this one class, and the teacher just was so vile toward anything, you know, good in all this. And he didn't like going to the class, and his friend came out of the, he had the class before him each day, and he came out of the class smiling and bouncing and said, why can you be so happy coming out of this class where this teacher talks like this? And he said, take everything the world teaches you, do just the opposite, and you have the Bible. You know, when you deal with people that are out in the world, and when they, you know, hate you for the gospel's sake, well, they're hating God. They're not hating you. Understand that. When you go to work or to a workplace and accusations are made about you, things are said, people are just angry and vehement toward you, it's not you. You have with you the truth, and that really irks them. And so when we see these things, whatever might hurt us, we need to understand in light of, you know, they're doing what's natural to them, and, you know, though we know better, we can just love on them and treat them well, you know, treat them nice. Pray for those who hurt you and all those things. And so as you, you know, take the first steps, as we study these first steps, understand that, you know, there's much to be said for the tongue, for what the tongue can do. There's much to be said for what the lips can do. And I did a search on it. And I looked it up on I think it was Blue Letter Bible on ESV. Just in the book of Proverbs, the word tongue comes up 103 times. The word lips comes up 114 times. And not every time, but you can generally say that as you study your Bible, lips basically refers to the vehicle by which we deliver speech. And the tongue represents that which we speak. Like, you know, the gift of tongues has to do with what is said, not how you say it, not, you know, the fact that your mouth is opening and closing. And so I'd look through that list. Oh, I'm sorry, that was for the whole Bible, those numbers up there. I'm sorry. In the book of Proverbs, lips comes up 33 times. So I looked through all 33 events. And in 19 of those events, it's spoken of in a positive context. And in 14 times in a negative context, whether it's a warning or just, you know, speaking about something in a way that shows that the lips were used in a negative way. And then the tongue, it was 19 times in Proverbs, 7 times were positive and 12 times were negative. And so, you know, I thought it was interesting that we can look at this and say that the Bible gives much warning about what we say. You know, we need to be thoughtful and concerned about what we say to people. Because, you know, as ambassadors to the gospel of Jesus, ambassadors to the kingdom of God, you know, we need to represent him properly and be careful about how we talk to people, and understand when people talk to you, talk bad about you, give you trouble, Well, it may be something you said that, you know, keyed them into it, but it also may just be, as you represent the light of God, there will be a lot of people who fight it. And it's really, when a person first gets saved, it really stands out, these type of things. And I think that's why it's appropriate that the first psalm for the journey of the Christian starts off with being humble, but also understanding that, you know, the power of the tongue, no matter how you want to look at it. And I think that's a good place to stop the study. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your word in the Psalms to give us reflections on your truth in a different way than just the narrative. And the Proverbs, while they give instruction and are good for our walk, we have the Psalms here that help us understand them better. In light of your word, looking forward to studying it, looking forward to applying it to our lives, and looking forward to growing closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.